Okay, who needs a book? Who needs a book? Anybody not have access to a book? And my book, I'm not talking about your Bible, but I'm talking about this book. Everyone has a book. Okay. Oh, you don't have one, Bob? Okay. I'm going to give you your own personal copy, Bob.
See how you are.
Do you have one?
No.
No?
Do you? I get a personal one?
Yes. Uh-huh.
You get
Bob's?
Oh, I get Bob's.
You gave it away already?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't want to think about you. He's so, yeah, that'd be Bob. Okay. All right, let's get started. We'll start off with a word of prayer. I don't know if you had a chance to look in your bulletin or not, but Barbara Vaughn is going into hospice soon. Longtime member here, Barbara Vaughn. So keep her in your prayers. Your daughter-in-law, yeah.
She's got another surgery.
Okay, all right, Daniel's daughter-in-law. Any others? Okay, continue to remember Mickey Heck, Barbara Girard. We have a pretty long list in our bulletin, but there are many we need to remember. Okay, let's go over Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, we thank you for bringing us together. Thank you, Lord, for your word and the truth that it teaches us. Help us, Lord, to be open to what it says, have a mind that wants to know, wants to study. Guide us into all truth. We pray, Lord, you be with our children this morning, grandchildren. Bless their study. Be with all the things that we strive to do within this church. Be with our VBS, upcoming VBS. And may much good come from that. And may we touch many hearts, many young hearts. Lord, we pray for Barbara Vaughn and the Neal's daughter-in-law. Pray that you be with her. Many others, Lord, we pray that you be with them and comfort them and help them to recover, those who recover. Be with Neil's daughter-in-law that's upcoming a surgery. And now, Lord, we ask that you forgive us of our sins and continue to provide for us. A prayer in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I want to do a quick review first of what we went over last week, and if you remember, we talked about why we should study the Holy Spirit, and we presented many things. We talked about several things, but I'm going to hit on a few of them. First, we saw that all baptized Christians have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then we saw that in Acts 2. I'm going to read that. It's up on the screen. Acts 2:38 says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" And then he says, "For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." All baptized Christians receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. No question. And this is not the only, and as we'll see, this is not the only place where it tells us we all receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Another thing we talked about, and this point number two is upon the screen, but the indwelling of the Holy Spirit can't be fully explained. And by that, I mean, none of your five senses tell you he is with you. You can't see him. You can't hear him. can't taste him, can't smell him, can't feel him, but he is with you. We have to know by faith that he is with us, and because the Bible tells us. Okay? That's the part that bothers a lot of people. Why can it not be fully explained? But yet, as Jesus pointed out, it's like the wind. He is there, and you have to trust it by faith. In your book, and I like the way our author says it, on page 13, read that if you will. At the very bottom of page 13, Spirit, I don't understand you. Everybody with me? Spirit, I don't understand you. But that's nothing new. I don't understand me either. Spirit, I'm not sure of how or why you work in my life. But that's nothing new. I cannot add one cubic to my stature or see 1 hour ahead of my life. Spirit, I depend on you. Though I cannot see or touch you in a physical way, thank you for giving the word. I can touch it, read it, and follow it. Without God, Christ, and you, Spirit, in our life, we would be very lonely indeed. Okay. I like the way he said that, the way he put that. So don't expect to fully understand everything about the Holy Spirit or to know how He exists and how he's in you. Just have faith that he is with you and that he is guiding you. Okay? All right, we'll talk more about the guidance of the Holy Spirit and how he leads you and how we can be sure that he is with us. Okay? All right, let's go on. What else did we talk about last week? Okay. As Mac Lyon pointed out, and Mark Copeland, there's much false teaching about the Holy Spirit. Much confusion, much harmful error is being taught about the Holy Spirit. Okay. And then up on the screen, I read this last week, but I'm going to read it again, what Mac Lyon said about it. Max said, it's a contradiction to claim to be a Bible-believing Christian while holding to an experience, however ecstatic it was, as authority that overrides biblical authority for what we believe. A Christian experience is not the confirmation of truth. Rather, truth is the basis for a true Christian experience. Holy Spirit experience is not an alternative to sound doctrine. Rather, by sound doctrine, a person is led into the Spirit. Led into a life in the Spirit. Okay. I know that's a bit of a mouthful, but what he's saying is, if somebody says that they had an experience, that does not override what the Word of God says. What we believe in must be what the Word of God says. Okay. For instance, probably shouldn't pick on the Mormons, but the Mormons claim to have, their leaders claim to have had experiences that led them to teach more or teach beyond the Word of God, don't they? Okay. All right. They claim to have had experience. Not true. The sound doctrine that's in the Bible is what we should rely on. Okay, so that's another reason why we should study the Holy Spirit. Fourth, and we looked at this for some time last week, there's a preponderance of Scripture in the Bible about the Holy Spirit. 88 times in the Old Testament, 264 times in the New Testament. He is spoken of. And then five, we also saw that the Holy Spirit is the source of all biblical truth. Okay. And we can see that directly in at least two scriptures. There's also more, but these two. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1, 20-21. In other words, the Holy Spirit told them what to write. Okay. This is a quote from Jesus. Jesus said this: "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Okay? Again, Jesus said that. Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth, teach you all things. Okay, so that's what we talked about last week. Somebody came in.
So, Bruce, let me ask. Sometimes a scripture that's relevant to a situation will come to my mind. Is that my memory? Is that the Holy Spirit? Both? Or we're not sure? You know what I mean? Because this phrase, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance. The longer I have walked in the way, the more scripture comes to me when it's needed. It did not on day one, and maybe that's only me. And I've often wondered, am I attributing that to my own good memory, or is that the Holy Spirit? And I know that's a big question. Anybody, what do you guys think?
I have to say, you can't know for sure. But it's a good possibility that the Holy Spirit did guide you to that scripture. Okay, yes. I totally agree. Yes. Mm-hmm. We've been given the Bible, so we know to rely on it. And if the Holy Spirit leads us to a passage in the Bible, we probably can't know for sure that he led it, but it's a good possibility. Or he led us to, consciously led us to do something we shouldn't have done. We'll talk more about this, but I think you all have the same thought that I do. The Holy Spirit is there, and we know he's helping us. Just how and when can't be certain.
Bruce,
yes?
I can't help but think about what Moses was given from the phrase that...
Yeah. Have that
stuff like that. And I think as we are truly walking with Christ and we are doing our daily Bible study, our prayers, as we are engaged, that at those moments, as we focus our attention and we're, we have that Christ language about us, that, you know, who's to say that the Holy Spirit doesn't guide us through those moments and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if we truly are quiet and we're focused on God's Word and stuff like that. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I know we have to study and have to have the knowledge of those scriptures to have that kind of recall. But who's to say that the Holy Spirit doesn't guide us through those moments?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, as Christ said, I will leave you a helper.
Yeah.
So, who's the helper? The Holy Spirit.
I think that he's not active.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other thoughts? I do want to get into what I was going to present today, but I welcome the comments. Okay. Today, I want to talk about who he is, what he is. Who he is, what he is, because we ask the question, is he a personal being or is he just an impersonal force? For instance, Jehovah Witnesses, and this is straight from one of their books, they believe he is an impersonal force. Okay. This is straight out of their book. It says, would have us believe, for instance, as for the Holy Spirit, the so-called third person of the Trinity, we have already seen that it is not a person, but God's active force. And that's from their book, The Truth That Leads to Eternal Life. Okay. However, we're going to show that he is a personal being. Okay. Mack Lyon, I referred to his study last week from his book and from his series of sermons. This is what he says and what he proves in the Bible. The Bible ascribes to the Holy Spirit personality or the qualities of character which distinguish him as a person from a thing. And then he quotes John 16, I'm going to put that up on the screen. John 16, verses 7 through 14. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. Who's the Helper? The Holy Spirit. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Okay? All right. From that scripture, from that passage, Mack Lyon points out that it refers to the Holy Spirit just 10 times with the word he, the personal pronoun he. Did you notice that? Okay. Not it, but he. Okay. He guides, he teaches, he will speak. Okay, so he is not an it. We can see from that passage. I remember just Jesus said that. He is not an it. Not an impersonal force, not an abstract being, but that he is a personal being. Okay. And we also, McLaughlin also points this out, that it said he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he would guide the apostles into all truth. He would show them things to come. Therefore, he is referred to as a person and never an object, never an abstract power. Okay? No question. Not an impersonal force. All right? Okay. We're going to see some more about this. From, I think I showed this to you last week. You can get this online. Mark Copeland's series of studies on the Holy Spirit. But he's got a pretty extensive section proving the Holy Spirit is a he, is a personal being. Okay? The Holy Spirit speaks. That tells us he's a personal being. And does he speak today? No, but he did speak. He spoke to the apostles. Especially says that some will depart from the faith. Holy Spirit said that. He spoke to Philip. He told him to go see the eunuch. Acts 8:29. He spoke to Peter and gave him charge concerning the Gentiles. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, and go down with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." And then also he spoke to the brethren at Antioch, told them to send Peter and Barnabas out on their first missionary journey. Okay? So those are all examples where the Holy Spirit spoke. All right, let's go on in Mark Copeland's study. The Holy Spirit teaches. Holy Spirit teaches. From John 14:16-17 and 26, Jesus said this, "I will pray that the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he might abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you." Okay, and then on down in verse 26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Holy Spirit speaks, Holy Spirit teaches, and he bears witness. Bears witness. He was to testify of Jesus. John 15:26-27. Just as the apostles would bear witness, so also would the Holy Spirit. "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." Bears witness. Okay. Holy Spirit guides, hears, speaks, and tells. Okay. As we saw in that passage earlier, and here Mark Copeland repeats it, John 16:12-13. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." Okay, and then Mark Copeland, just like Mac Lyon,
he points out the same thing. Jesus consistently refers to the Holy Spirit as he. Okay, let's go on. He shows personality. The Holy Spirit shows personality. Works man shows personality. He forbids. He prevented Paul and his companions from going into certain areas of Asia. This he did by forbidding them and not permitting them despite their initial efforts. If you remember that story, that passage, Paul wanted to go further into Asia Minor, going to different parts of Asia Minor. The Holy Spirit told him, the Holy Spirit forbade him and told him to go on to Macedonia. That's the story. That's the passage on that. The Holy Spirit intercedes. Okay, what is that talking about? He helps us in our prayers. Okay, just we're told Christ intercedes for us, so is the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26, Spirit himself makes intercession for us, just as Christ also made intercession for us. Romans 8:34. Okay, this is really good too. Anyone have a thought or a question about those characteristics that show that he is a he, has personality? Okay. Here's some more that show him to be a personal being. He has knowledge. He has knowledge, will, and emotion. Okay. This passage is also in your book, the very first part of your book. I think it's in the preface. Yeah. Second page in your book where it says preface, okay? You'll find that's part of that same scripture. Okay, but notice what it says. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Okay. So just as the spirit of man knows certain things, the Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit has knowledge. Okay. I think that's a very interesting scripture. Because he says he knows the things about God, knows of God. And we'll see next week, because he is God. The Trinity, God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all the Holy Spirit part is divine. So he knows the deep things of God. And we'll talk more about that, how we know that he is divine. Yes, Larry.
You know, it comes to my mind just last Sunday, whenever we had a sermon by David, and he was excellent, telling us what we need to do, how we need to do it. And really, that's telling us what the Holy Spirit is. That's the thing. what it has, but I can tell you that hearing good sermons, hearing the word, and the pastors and everything makes you closer to that Holy Spirit, because those are the things that he's left.
Okay. And I'm sure if we could say the Holy Spirit helped him to remember the things he presented. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Let me go further with what Mark Copeland has in his study. You don't think of the Holy Spirit as having affection. But in Romans 15:30, Paul says, speaks of the love of the Spirit. The love of the Spirit. Whenever you know an impersonal force that could love. He has a will. The same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And then it quotes 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. It is the Holy Spirit who decides what person received which gift. Okay. It's talking about the miraculous gifts that were given at that time. The Holy Spirit, he willed who would get what. The Holy Spirit can also suffer personal slights and injury. He can be grieved. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:30. He can be made sorrowful through our willful neglect. He can be blasphemed, that is, be spoken evil of, as in attributing his deeds to the work of Satan, the unforgivable sin. Okay. That's from Matthew 12 and 31 through 32. He can be insulted. One who has trampled the Son of God underfoot has also insulted the Spirit of grace. Hebrews 10:29. And that is done by sinning willfully. Okay. So all those things, all those characteristics, all those things can happen to the Holy Spirit. So he is a personal, again, he is a personal being. Okay, another example. He can be lied to. Okay. As Ananias and his wife Sapphira, yeah, I hope I said that right. Ananias and Sapphira were guilty of doing. Why has Satan filled your hearts to lie to the Holy Spirit? You know that. Let's look at that passage, because I think it says lies to the Holy Spirit and to God. I want to go there with me. Acts 5 and verses 3 and 4. When is it going to bring up the comforter part? That, yeah, Jesus did say that, yeah.
We haven't covered that,
have we? And we haven't covered that? I think we did a while ago. It was in John 16 that he's a comforter.
I didn't hear it.
Okay.
It's in John 16. But yeah, Acts 5, beginning with verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit, keeping back part of the price of the land for yourself? And while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart, and you have not lied to men, but to God? Okay. Lied to the Holy Spirit there, and lied to God. Right.
He's saying, why did you even try? Or I would translate that, why are you even trying this?
Why did you attempt to lie to God and lie to the Holy Spirit? Yes.
And then, which I think is wonderful for us and very important to understand. And then the other part is he didn't even really get that worried about lying to us, right? At no point, because I'm so selfish, I'm like, you lied to me, right? Really, the affront here.
Yeah, that was Lincoln.
Yeah. People all the time and all the people some of the time. But you can't fool all the people all the time. There's no exception for the Holy Spirit. You cannot lie to the Holy Spirit. And I think once we as people understand that, it'll save us a lot of mischief. Right? It'll save us a lot of nonsense.
Uh-huh. Eventually gone. Yes.
The appearance of virtue is nothing. I find that very interesting. The appearance is nothing. Filthy rag. Virtue
Okay. I want to finish this with this think about it slide. Think about it. And I ask some very pointed questions. It says, have you or do you find it difficult to relate to the Holy Spirit as a thinking, active, emotion person? Mm-hmm. Do you have difficulty identifying the Holy Spirit as He rather than it? I'm sure all of us in the past have thought, Holy Spirit, it. But no, He's a He. He's He. And we have proved that with Scripture today, this morning. And then lastly, can you identify things or ways the Holy Spirit has helped you in the past that you have not given Him credit for? Okay. Todd pointed that out earlier. So did Devin. I can think of many times in the past where I have to believe the Holy Spirit helped me out. Okay. Well, one thing. Getting this book for each of you. Okay? Because when I called about it, they only had a few of them. So, but then I looked at it and thought, well, if you open it up, it's about the size of an average sheet of paper, 8.5 by 11. So I went and talked with Jessica. Asked her if she thought we could take the book apart, make copies, staple it, and then so that each one of you would have this book. Okay? And she said, yeah, and I've even got the stapler to do that. Okay? So can I attribute it to my thinking, my smarts? No. I'm not that smart. I really think the Holy Spirit had a hand in that, okay, honestly. But can each of you think of times in the past where the Holy Spirit has helped you? Okay, think about that. Think about that seriously. Okay, I want to show you this one other slide. Last week we looked at Ephesians 3:16, where Paul prayed this, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Okay? Remember, Paul prayed that for the Ephesians. So we should pray for the same thing. And when he says strengthened, it's talking about spiritually strengthened. Not physical strength, but spiritual strength. And then this kind of adds to our study today. Think of the Holy Spirit as Christ at work through you. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. John 15:5. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because He has given of us His Spirit. 1 John 4:13. Okay. All right, so think of the Holy Spirit as Christ at work in you. And we can attribute those passages right there. For next time, read chapters 2 and 3 in your book. Chapters 2 and 3. We will be talking about how He is divine. The Holy Spirit is divine.